Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
We sure are. Love is love. If you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say. How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just
because
we stick.
Hi.
Hi, guys. Here we are again.
Oh, it's like Groundhog's Day in our life. Groundhog's Day in this podcast. It's just all just keeps coming.
We're still in this pandemic. We're still all in our individual spaces, not making physical contact, and it's Groundhog's Day, so hope you're enjoying your Groundhog's Day.
Yay, everything's going great. I find that there's ups and downs. Like, I'll have a good day. Like, yesterday was a good day. I got outside. We did like a 6-foot socially distancing at someone's house, and it was nice to like sit in a chair outside. But then today I feel like
that was my yesterday.
Ups and downs.
Yeah, my yesterday, Anne had to drive. We're like 3.5 hours away, and she had to drive back because we couldn't fit everything in the car. So she took like
because Jamie moved again. Everybody, moved again. She's in another temporary house.
We're in the country,
upstate.
Like, we're even further away. Like, we are in the country. There's cows everywhere.
That's like where I grew up.
Yeah. Well, I think about you a lot. There are a lot of Trump signs.
Oh yeah,
a lot of tractors. That's you. a lot of tractor stores.
Yeah, we used to be like you'd be on the 2-lane road going somewhere and
get stuck.
You'd be stuck behind a tractor going like 10 miles an hour before you could, you know, had to wait for your moment to pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happened to me yesterday. So yesterday, Anne had to drive back. So she took six or 7 hours. She left at the crack of dawn. She's good like that. But like, it's so funny because like when you think about being alone with your kids now during the pandemic, you're like, no, I need you. I don't want to be alone with
them.
What
if you take one kid with you?
We definitely had that conversation.
Oh, God.
But yeah, but it turned out okay. It was just a long day. So.
Well, on a right turn, next week is the beginning of Pride.
Yeah, Pride.
Woo. Go, Jamie. And it's not going to be what it usually is. We're not going to have our parades. We're not going to have all our boozy brunches. We're not going to have all of our family picnics. No. So that's a little bit of a bummer. But Jamie and I had an idea that came up on one of our live streams.
I actually don't think it was our idea.
Did we steal it from one of the people who watched our live stream?
The people.
By the way, if you want to see our live streams Wednesdays and Fridays on Facebook. But anywho, somebody had an idea that was better than our ideas to make videos of how your family celebrates Pride.
Yeah.
And we want you to make a video, make it fun, make it funny, just do you and send it to us. And we're going to share it on our social media feed.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody else also had an idea of like decorating t-shirts. And if you're one of those folks who has extra t-shirts and wants to decorate.
If that's how you're going to celebrate Pride, like whatever you're going to do, film it and make a little video and send it to us at ovariestalk@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them under a minute, folks, if you can.
There she goes. There she goes.
I am and forever will be a producer.
I love it. I love it.
Well, I don't want them to send me a fantastic video that we can't put up because it's too long. And because Lord knows I don't have time to edit it, for God's sakes. All right. Enough about Producer Robin.
Okay. Producer Robin has set aside. We have a new Patreon member Patreon community. Jesse EC. EC?
I mean, I don't think it's her last name. I think it's just like how she filled it out on the
But it's cool. It's like her hip hop name.
It's like Easy Jesse. Well, we're so excited. She's joined our community.
Love you, thanks, Jesse. Jesse EC. Thank you. But on that note, we do have something a little more. It's not serious. Well, it's kind of serious. I'm going to call it our public service announcement or whatever. I don't know. You guys at home might have noticed that we have fewer ads than before because basically COVID-19 has changed things. Fewer companies are able to advertise right now. So they've been pulling ads, which
is true,
which is not great for us. But the truth of the matter is the ads, they basically just helped us keep this podcast running. Yeah. We've never really made any revenue from this podcast. You might not know that.
We're still in the red is what Jamie's saying.
Still in the red. So we really, really, really love making this podcast.
We
don't want to stop. We want to keep these stories going forever.
Because it's important. The stories are important.
They are. They're really important. And you've spoken to us and told us how much you enjoy them. So we want to keep it going. We want to keep it going so much so that Robin even quit her day job.
I sure did. Boy, that seemed like a much better idea before
COVID. Before COVID. Yeah. So, you know, and we're trying to make ends meet. We've had so many successes with this podcast. You know, we won the People's Choice Podcast Award. We are a Webby honoree. We interviewed Rosie O'Donnell, Stacey Ann Chin, Senator Zach Walls. We have sponsors like Mira, the home fertility testing kit. We have a popular live stream now.
We got a book, Jamie.
We have a book
that's coming out.
Like so many wonderful, wonderful things. But yet still, we really
still,
are not.
Still we don't make any money.
We're not making any money. And the ads are slowing down, which is a little scary for us. We don't want to stop. We know you love these stories. We want to continue making them. And that's why we created our Patreon community. For those of you who don't know exactly what Patreon is, it's a platform for artists to get assistance in funding from the people who love the art that's created.
And like, we just have to say, this is not an easy conversation for either of us to do. Like, you know, when we started up Patreon, we went back and forth about like, oh, are we asking for money? But you know, we came to the conclusion that it was just, we couldn't fund it all by ourselves without help from people. Not now, at least. And so, you know, we're kind of looking at this whole conversation that we're having right now. Like when you listen to your NPR shows and every so often they come in and they're like, hey, it's a fundraising time, like because they need that money to cover their costs to keep content coming to folks.
This is your friendly public service announcement or whatever. So here's what you can get when you join our Patreon community. So for $2 a month, we call that our sperm donor level because we're funny like that. You're going to get love and gratitude coming straight from our ovaries to whatever parts you got and a shout out in an episode. So you hear us mention, like we just mentioned Jessie SC. She's become a new member. She gets her shout out. So you get that for the $2 a month level.
And then for a $5 a month, which we call the egg donor level, all the benefits of the lower tiers, plus you're going to get access to exclusive content. So we ask a guest an additional question, or they send us a story that they wanted to share, or sometimes it's outtakes. Sometimes we'll do polls where we'll ask, like, if we have, you know, what famous person would you want to hear? You're going to get a handwritten thank you card with an If These Ovaries Could Talk sticker that's going to be tucked neatly inside.
Sometimes more than one sticker. Just saying.
Sometimes we go rogue and like send you a couple of stickers. So that's your $5 egg donor level.
Yeah. And then for $15 a month, which we call our gestational carrier level, aka angels, you get all the benefits of the lower tiers, plus unedited commercial-free video of some of the interviews, a social media shout out of your choice, and you get to vote on show topics once they've been narrowed down. And you get a free If These Ovaries Could Talk t-shirt or mug after 6 months of being a Patreon member.
That is very exciting. The t-shirts and the mugs are pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. And we have one last final crazy level that, you know, if you can do this, like, Godspeed. So this is our $50 a month fertility doctor level. And for this, you're going to get more love than you would ever feel comfortable accepting from Jamie and Robin. And that is really true.
That's really true.
So you're going to get all the benefits of lower tiers. You're starting to get a sense of this theme. But you're also going to get to be on an If These Ovaries Could Talk episode talking about a topic of your choice, now provided it's not illegal. And that's after 3 months. And also, our book comes out on September 22nd. After 4 months, you're going to get an autographed copy of our book.
Autographed.
So you have to be one of those people that can jump in at that level. Some big perks.
Yeah. But we also know, guys, that times are tough. And if you have nothing extra to give, we totally get that too. And we are still going to continue making content for you free of charge as long as we can continue to. That's why we started this in the first place. Our stories need to be told and we're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want you to feel like some crazy pressure from us. We just want you to know that it's out here. We could use the help. And if you can consider joining our Patreon community, that would be lovely.
Yes.
If you have any ideas of extra things that you would like at the levels, please let us know about that. We're open to everything.
We don't want to stop you guys. We don't want Robin to have to go back to work. We want Jamie to be able to help Robin more.
These are good things.
Yes.
And we love you all. And we just want this good thing to keep going. So yeah. If you can give, please give. And enough about our PSA, our drive
it's
to Beijing.
It's over. We're getting to the episode, to our guests.
Thank you. Okay, all right.
Who are we talking to?
The McDingers, Maura and Corey. The best made-up last name ever, the McDingers.
I mean, that's a fun one.
It is.
I mean, my friends, the Franzitos, that's cool, too. That's a fun one.
Yeah, that sounds like a wine.
That's what they're like. Just a fine wine.
They are. Well, I was thinking more of like a box wine, but that's okay. But I have to say, I was so excited for this interview because it's something that our listeners told us they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear about a partner who uses the other partner's sibling as a donor to create their child. And so enter the McDingers.
The McDingers.
Helen, roll the tape.
Helen.
Put your cigarette down.
Put your hearing aid in. Helen, put your hearing aid in.
She can't hear us. She can't hear us. I'll roll the tape. Frigging Helen. Hi.
Hello. Hi.
We have Maura and Corey
Welcome
here.
Welcome to our podcast.
Hi.
So Maura emailed us her story and was like, I got a story for you guys. And we were like, yeah, you do.
We need to bring you in. So you guys are coming in from Boston here.
Yeah. Just outside of the city, yeah.
So you have your 30-second elevator pitch. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You're ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Who are you guys? On your mark, get set, go.
Hi, we are the McDingers. We made up our last name because our maiden names hyphenated would have been too long to put on the back of a hockey jersey. Our family consists of two moms, one kid, and a dog. Corey is the emotional stabilizer and the peacekeeper of the family. Mora is the list maker and the planner and the taskmaster. And Brogan, our five-year-old, is the adventure, the artist, and the imagination. She is an only child, but she has six invisible siblings as well as an invisible pet cat.
Boom.
Whoa. It's like you practiced that.
You know.
That's our first scripted 30-second pitch.
That was amazing.
Long-time listener, first-time caller, what can I say?
She's ready. You were like, I got to get my 30-second. I got to get
she
it.
She was like, stand by. Let me get my script out. Stand by.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're so happy to have you here. We're so happy that you wrote in and that we could bring you in because that's what we do.
Yeah, it's really exciting to be a part of this and to share a story.
All right, well, let's...
Before we started, they said that Mora listened to every episode and Corey was like, not so much. Just one.
Everyone.
She's like, I'm up to speed. I got a sense
she
of it.
She listened to at least one, so that's good. So you made... This is like my dream to make up our name. I think about it all the time, like maybe we should make up our last name. But then I'm too attached to my name. And then I think, oh, no, that would be weird. So talk about that. I'm so intrigued by it.
Yeah, when we were... just dating, like before we were married, one of our friends started referring to us as the McDingers. So my last name was McCarthy. Hers was Waldinger.
And it was sort of a joke, but it was funny and we liked it. And
yeah.
So we stuck with it.
It is fun. And
then
when
we got married, we thought about changing it and held off. And then I think after like a year of being married, we changed it on Facebook just to like test it out, like to see like, is this real? Could this work? And then we finally legally changed it when our daughter was born, which was 5 years after we got married. So yeah, it was a gradual process.
Yes. We all wanted to have the same name. We just, yeah. I don't know. We agreed on that from the beginning.
Yeah. I like that.
I know
that.
Not all people do. Yeah. Some have their father's name, their mother's name, or one parent's name, the other parent's name.
I get that.
That's like, so cool.
I want that. I didn't think it would matter to me that we all have the same name, and we don't. Our kids' names are hyphenated, and we each have our own last name. And I think how cool would it be for us to all have the same name? And I think my kids would love it. And every lesbian couple has a hyphenated name that their lesbian friends have made for them. Like, we're the Kelwoods.
Yes.
We're the Hoptels.
All of us do it. So, and it's a unique thing that us LGBTQ plus couples can do.
Did you feel a loss for either of your names? Like when you gave up
a
name?
I thought I would, but I think McDinger's cooler. Like,
it took a while.
There's a lot of McCarthys in the world that I'm not related to, and there's a lot that I am related to. So it's like, you know what? That name's good. Like, I can move on from it.
It took a while for me to change my name professionally because I thought it sounded a little silly, but my other name, Waldinger, sounds just as silly as McDinger. So
let's be honest, it's the dinger that's silly. So it's like you're bringing the dinger with you, no matter what, which also sounds dirty.
You brought the dinger. How did your families take it, though?
I don't know if either of them would tell us if they didn't like it.
Yeah, that's accurate.
They don't talk about things.
So that means you have a nice family.
Yeah. They're nice and they don't talk about things like that.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
You know.
That sounds very WASPy.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's
WASPy Irish.
Yeah. It's very Boston. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So let's talk about the creation of your family. Let's get into that.
So Corey carried Brogan and we used a known donor and my brother was the donor.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love this. You guys are a little bit like unicorns in our lesbian world because it's like something that people talk about doing, but not many people actually do.
Yeah.
So we've talked to one other couple who used a brother, but that's it.
No, two. Richie Jackson used his sister.
Right.
He used his sister's eggs. And then we talked to kids. But what we did find, though, is when we talked to the two kids whose moms did that, a lot more people came out of the woodwork than I thought. I thought it was really rare, but a lot of people on our social said that they had done it. Yeah. And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about it. Yeah. How did that go? How did you decide
really
on it?
Which is cool.
Yeah. I think, as you were saying, right, it's kind of part of like the lesbian vision in a way, right? And when, again, even before we were married and really seriously talking about kids, we had thought like, oh, this would be a great way to have a family. And like, you have a brother, I have a brother. Maybe this could work out of, you know, having donors in our family. And then when the time came, it just stuck with us, that idea. So when we started really more seriously thinking about starting a family, we decided to ask my brother. Corey's a little older than me, so the
I would
decision,
go first when we were thinking of having two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The decision of who would carry was kind of made by age and enthusiasm. We were excited to do that. And so my brother is 4 years younger than I am. And this was
six years ago.
So he was what, like 26 when I asked him? Yeah. And
it all becomes a blur. I know. We know.
But
it
really like, does. Right in terms of stage of life, like single guy
living in Colorado.
Yeah.
The boulder thing.
So like, I distinctly remember calling him up. I was parked in my car, like on the way to work or something. And I was like, so, we're thinking of starting a family and we're wondering if you'll be the donor. You don't need to answer this question now. You can take some time to think about it. And just kind of putting it out to him like that. And he was like, well, what does that involve? And we're like, well, you would need to give us sperm and you would need to sign a paper saying that we'll never look for anything from you financially. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that's pretty much that.
Sign the parental rights.
And you sign away your rights as a parent. Stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's like, mm-hmm. that sounds great. Like, I don't want to be financially or emotionally responsible. So yeah, he thought about it and he agreed to do it.
How long did he think about it? Was it pretty quickly?
I think it was like within a week. Yeah, it was. Wow. It was a quick turnaround.
Does he want kids of his own ever?
Unclear.
You know, he really seems to live day to day.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, is he still ski bumming in Colorado?
He's actually not, but that is sort of the picture I was painting by doing the boulder thing. He doesn't actually ski that much or at all.
No, he's just out in nature.
Yeah.
He's out among the trees.
So was there anyone in your family? Did anybody express any concerns or did anyone in your community say anything about it? Or was everybody like, that's so cool? Like, what was the reaction?
You know, kind of throughout our whole relationship, I feel like our family's reaction has been like, certainly supportive and with an understanding of like, you're doing your thing that's right for you. So like when we're mm-hmm. wedding planning, like none of our parents were especially like heavy in the like, this is what it should look like. Same with family building.
Yeah. Like they went along with it and didn't like protest or like not support.
Yeah.
They didn't get involved.
And we definitely talked to our parents about it. And I don't know if they had any like really probing questions, you know, more of like a
curiosity.
Well, how will this work? What will this look
how
like
does that
in the future?
Work?
And we're like, we'll figure that out when we come to it. But yeah, I mean, just kind of having our vision and I guess just sharing that like, this is how we want to make our family and this is what feels more comfortable to us than going through a sperm bank and anonymous donor route. Like that whole option seemed far more confusing for us.
Daunting,
even though
almost.
So many couples do it, like it's not a big deal.
I think a lot of people do it because of the cutoff.
Yeah.
You know, meaning like you buy it using your credit card and then you never hear from that person again unless your kids decide to. Like it's a defined line. I think that's why a lot of people
choose
that.
A different boundary.
And it's easy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know I chose it also just because it seemed like the easiest option for me because that's the way that everybody I knew went, you know?
Yeah. I didn't have a brother. So there's that. Neither did my wife. Well, so that wasn't happening.
I'm also assuming you guys just really both like your brothers a lot. So...
Solid.
I mean, I would hope
they're
so.
Solid guys. Yeah.
Good. Solid guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great. And he said yes. Mm-hmm. So then what happens? How did it work?
Yeah.
So there's a couple different ways that you can do it. And well, we started out to like, we were the first of our queer friends to have kids. So we didn't really have friends to go to be like, mm-hmm. how are you doing this? But Fenway Health, which is a LGBT care organization, they put on a program. They call it the Alternative Insemination Program Info Session. So like we went to that and we connected with a woman who is a social worker who kind of like talks with couples through it. Remember when we met with her?
Okay. That was like a little blip, but I think it's probably important. And
but,
she recommended
but no, that
lawyer
was just that,
and like all the logistical stuff.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, because you guys, I mean, the having the donor is very easy because you know him so well. But then all the other things you have to set in place in order to do this route is something that it's nice to have guidance on, I would imagine.
Yeah. So we had to be in touch with a lawyer to learn a little bit more about what we needed to do in terms of a donor contract. And even mm-hmm. just, we even talked to her about like, how do we get the sperm and get it into quarantine?
The lawyer or the social worker?
The social worker.
You had to do it at home to avoid a quarantine, right?
Yeah.
Or did you quarantine the sperm and then do it in a clinic?
We did it at home.
Yeah.
So
turkey baster method.
Yeah.
Without actual turkey baster.
That's what we call it too. Okay. We're all doing air quotes here.
Okay, cool.
So we were tracking Corey's ovulation just with body temperature and whatever app we were using at the time. Got used to figuring out when she was ovulating and then planned a trip out to Colorado.
We went to him the first time.
I mean, it was March. She had time off from work. I took time off from work. We made a little vacation out of it.
As you do.
Yeah. And of course, it was like the 1 month out of like the prior six where like your...
The cycle was off.
Your cycle was off.
Oh, we messed up somehow. So that one didn't work.
Oh, no.
We extended our trip by 2 days thinking like, oh, let's try it this number day. And then that one didn't work.
So when you do it, you're there. You're all together. And basically, he would just go in a room, do the thing, bring it out.
We were at a bed and breakfast. We left.
I'm so uncomfortable.
He came over.
Moment.
He went in, left it in the cup in the bathroom. Well, this feels really gross, but anyway.
But and then he left. Is what it is. It's how you have to do it to make a baby, and it's beautiful.
No, I guess for some reason I'm picturing bringing it over in a bag. There's something about him being in the space that, like, I don't know, but it's like you left.
So that's, he came in.
Like, it's like your brother, your brother doing stuff while you're in another room. Like, it just feels weird.
Yeah. Creation of life.
For me.
Life's creation. Here we go.
It feels sort of miraculous reflecting back on it, but talking about it, it's kind of like, that happened? We did that?
These are the things. These are the things we LGBTQ folks go through to make our children.
Yeah,
very intentional.
How did you know you missed your window from the checker thingy? Something more technical than the checker thingy, right?
Yeah, you know, like isn't it like a blinky smiley face, and then it's like a solid smiley face?
I never did an ovulation checker, so
I did. You know. And it just wasn't like the ideal day or something. So
you were never getting the smiley face.
We still thought it might work, but it didn't. Now we know that that time didn't. And then were there two other times?
How many tries did you do?
Two tries.
Like, because you're there, could you have done
when we each
per cycle?
Yeah, like when you were out there, did you do three times?
Twice. Yeah. I mean, that's what a lot of doctor's offices do. They do two different days.
Yeah.
I feel like I would have been like, let's just do it every day I'm here. Why not? Like, I would have.
Yeah.
Like, because I'd have been like, maximize my flight miles.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that would even make a difference.
I don't know. Like, you know, we don't know the
I'm
science
not a doctor.
Of it, so
we're not doctors. We don't know what we're talking about.
Okay. So the first time, unfortunately, didn't work. And so then what happened?
Then we flew him out in April.
Oh, you brought him to you?
Yeah.
We had all these true blue points, which was pretty great. It makes it sound like, we flew there.
I know,
It's not really like that, but it's...
Yeah, but if you think about it, though, how much sperm costs.
Yeah.
Like, that's the same cost. It's less, actually.
It was less, I think,
And then the third time we tried, that's when we were getting to the point of, like, is this working? Do we need to think of, like, another way of doing this or another intervention? And started to look at the options. You know, if you have a known donor, a lot of banks have a known donor program. That's the one that requires the sperm to be quarantined.
Just for clarity, the known donor program, he would send his sperm to the clinic and they do all the stuff that needs to be done to it and check it and wash it and quarantine.
But it has to be
it.
A 6 month quarantine. Right. Yeah. If you use any kind of medical intervention. Right.
But we didn't do that.
But at this point, you didn't have him go check his swimmers or anything. It was just, we're going
to
use it.
He went to Planned Parenthood to get a STD panel. So believe it or not, Planned Parenthood helped with our conception.
Go.
Oh, that's
Planned
amazing.
Parenthood. Right? Yes.
Yeah. And of course, like at that point, right, when you're ready to go, the idea of a 6 month quarantine feels like forever.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah.
It was expensive and but like where we were at that point, like,
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Well, that's because I was the one making the list.
Corey's blocked a lot of their experiences out.
The spreadsheets.
Oh, you're the spreadsheet one, Maura.
Oh, yeah.
So, because I could see if it were me, I'd be worried, like, I don't know, are we doing this right? Are we? Because it's like you're at home and you're just putting it in there with a turkey baster. It's got to feel weird.
It's a little
syringe.
That is what it was. Yeah. Yes. See, I do remember that. I didn't block that out. Yeah. And it worked. Okay. The third time it worked.
The third time worked.
That's amazing. All right. So you're pregnant.
You got all your paperwork in place.
Yeah. The other piece was after Brogan was born, he had to sign away a waiver of parental rights at that time as well. Mm-hmm. And
that's for the second parent adoption form, right?
Oh, I guess that was for the second parent adoption.
Were you ever worried that he would all of a sudden decide, wait a second, maybe I want to be parentally.
That would be really weird.
Definitely not. Okay.
How did you say, like, you're not a parent? Did you talk about, like, we're going to call you uncle, they're going to call you donor? Like, did you talk about all that stuff before you did
that? Yeah, it was just like, you'll be Uncle Brian. That's what the relationship will be.
And I think he's psyched about that, too. I think he wanted to be an uncle, and he gets to be an uncle.
I was less worried about him, like, changing his mind about parental rights than I was about changing his mind about, you know, getting flown out to...
Yeah, to, like, go through what we were trying to...
Go through the donation process every month. Project. Like, he was getting a little, like... When we told him he was pregnant, he was kind of like, oh, thank God. When we told him we were pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I guess you think it's going to just happen right away. And now it's starting to be a whole, you know, he wasn't ready to be on board with the whole process of how long it could possibly take.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You don't think about that as a sperm donor, I suppose.
Right.
I don't think anybody thinks about that. You think it's going to happen right away. Yeah. Most of the time.
Well, luckily it happened relatively quickly for you. Mm-hmm. So you get pregnant. How'd the pregnancy go?
As I remember it, it was great. And the morning sickness. I think I felt nauseous and had like food cravings like the first trimester. Yeah, I really craved peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and cereal, and like salad and coffee seemed like the worst things ever.
I ate cereal like it was my job when I was pregnant. That's all I ate.
And then I remember we went to a family friend's wedding like the day of the first day of the second trimester, and all of a sudden food tasted good again. So I remember that being this moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Back then, I feel like I wanted to talk about this all the time, but didn't really have an audience. And it's like, now I have an audience, but I don't remember what it is that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah. No, I know. That's what happens, though. Once you have the baby, everything before baby is forgotten. Yeah. Life before baby.
Everything before baby feels so critical and so like you just don't know how any of it's ever going to work. And then afterward, you're like, when you talk to someone who's trying now, you're like, oh, don't worry about it. You're going to get pregnant. Yeah. It's fine. It's the other stuff you got to worry about once that baby comes.
Was he there for the birth?
No.
The way you guys answer the questions about him. No. I just want to meet him now.
I know. We should get like a voice memo from him. Yes. Like, would he do that?
Yeah, he'd be willing
he'd probably
to.
Do that.
I would love that. He sounds like he's so like laid back and like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. So I can't wait to hear his voice.
So basically, Maura called me kind of out of the blue and was like, hey, we want to have a kid. We need a donor. Will you do that? And my initial reaction was, that's the weirdest question I've ever heard in my life. And my second reaction was like, of course, my sister needs help with something very important. This is going to be very easy for me. Yeah, of course I'll help. But then I also wanted to take a couple days to think about it because my brain was swimming because that's a weird request. So I talked to a couple friends and some family about it. And a couple of people actually tried to talk me out of it. They were like, oh, but what if you feel like you're their dad and you feel this connection and now you have this kid that you can't see or raise or whatever? And I'm just like, well, I don't know. Like, I'll cross that bridge if I get there, I guess. But I don't know. That just didn't really stick to me as a very good reason to not do it. So I took a couple days, wrapped my head around it and was like, okay, yeah, this is weird, but it's an important thing. So I'm going to do it. And then the process itself, I don't remember too much about it. I just remember going to Planned Parenthood, like getting tested, making sure everything's okay. And then Maura and Corey came out to Colorado. I'd go into the bathroom, get a cup, take care of business, give it to them, let them do their thing. Apparently, I also flew out to Boston for two more times. I don't even remember that part. And basically now, a lot of people ask me now, like, oh, is it weird having a... you know, biological child that's not yours? And I'm like, yeah, not really. Like, sometimes I'll look at Brogan and get a little bit of like, huh, that's like half my DNA in there. Okay. And like, that's just in the back of my mind, but there's no like real, I don't know. It doesn't seem too different. I don't really have anything else to compare it to because I don't have any kids or any other nieces or nephews. But I mean, I definitely see Brogan and think she's like the best human in the world and get very protective of her when I see her and think about her. But is that any different than like if I had another niece or nephew that wasn't biologically related to me? I don't know. So I don't know. I just assume it's about normal. I haven't told too many people about it. At first I kept it kind of quiet just because I don't know, that's kind of my nature anyway. But I told a couple friends about it. And at this point I've started telling more people. Usually I'll use it like if I'm just sitting around with a group of friends and we're playing some kind of game like Two Truths and a Lie, or like, everyone shares something that people don't know about you. I'll be like, hey, guess what? I got a biological kid. And people will be like, what? And then I tell them the story. And they're generally like, oh, that's very cool. And I'm just like, yeah. I mean, to me, it's, again, it comes back to like, my sister needed help and it was important, so I did it. And I kind of feel like most people would in that situation. It never struck me as being all that different, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's what most people would do anyway. And now I'm kind of rambling, so I'm just going to go. Bye.
I guess it was a year ago, right? She started asking how babies were born and we're like, here we go. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the tried and true LGBTQ recommendations of Zach Safari and what makes a baby and what They're makes great. A baby just kind of breaks everything down into some people have uteruses and eggs and some people have sperm and an egg and a sperm need to get together. That's what she learned is how babies are made.
I have the What Makes a Baby book.
Yeah.
I don't have the Safari book.
Oh, it's so what cute. Is that? Zach Safari. So he takes everyone on a tour of his family and he has two moms and they used a sperm bank. And so he has a donor and he says, it must have been an awesome guy who donated the genes that made up me or something. It's cute. And Brogan knows that she is a donor and she knows that it's Uncle Brian. She hasn't asked a ton
We've
of questions.
We've also spoken very openly about it with people and she is always around and she's
a sponge.
She picks up on everything. So she's definitely heard us say, oh, my brother Brian is the donor. Uh-huh. And she's still figuring out what that means in different ways, but she's so funny because she got really into that What Makes a Baby book. And like sometimes she would just like out of the blue be like, sperm and egg. And she like took out the book out on like a play date. It was like a first play date with a kid from a preschool. Like this is one that parents should read with their kids.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I love those stories.
There's a part in the back where you're supposed to write your own story. And
this
she's
in Zach Safari.
In Zach Safari. She's super creative and like always telling stories. It's kind of her thing. So instead of telling her own story about her, though, she just wanted to write a story. So she dictated a story to me that I wrote down.
She's like, yeah, no, I'm not using it for that. She's
not
like,
the donor.
Take this down. Take this down.
Exactly.
Yeah. I say that in everyday conversation. That's amazing. Do you disclose this to everybody in your life? Like, for instance, we let everybody know, yes, they have an anonymous donor from a sperm bank. How much of your story do you disclose to others in your life?
Other than on a podcast that goes worldwide.
Now everybody knows.
we're pretty open about it. Like,
I'm trying to think of our new friend. Like, we made new friends when Brogan...
Yeah, as we're kind of getting into school communities. Yeah. And I think we've always told all of her preschool...
Yeah, we're kind of proud of it. Like people just are curious.
And just like, so they know. And like so that they know like what to do with her on Father's Day, right? You know? Well, not that we celebrate Father's Day with my brother, like that's not it, but it's like here are the men in her life that she can make things for if this is the direction that the craft is going.
This grandfather, this uncle, that uncle.
But what we get is like, oh my gosh, she looks just like you to me. Mm-hmm. Which she does.
Oh. Well, you're related.
Yeah. So it kind of, it helps to explain that. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. I didn't even think of that. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
And then when we make new friends, like we kind of do think it's an essential part of the story. Yeah. So, and it just, I mean, kind it just is. Kind of like cuts barriers right away. Right.
Who cares? So like,
we'll find out if this friendship lasts once we lay out all the details up front.
Real quick. Real quick.
Right. I think that's the way to be.
Yeah.
And that's what we hear from all the experts that we talk to on the podcast. We're not experts, but what everybody says is, be open from the start, you know, everywhere and let people deal with it the way they're going to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also your kid's going to pick up on how you feel about it. So if there's any internalized shame or if there's anything like that, they're going to pick up on it. And you two are so just like, this is amazing. So she's going to be like, this is amazing.
It's great. I love that you both can see yourselves in her.
Yeah,
physically.
That's amazing.
It's cool to look at old pictures and be like, oh, that looks like you. Oh, that looks
right.
Especially when she was just born and like you're in that completely enamored baby phase and like looking at her and being like, you look like everybody I have ever known and loved. Yeah, like I remember feeling that way.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Maura, were you planning on carrying as well?
So we had originally thought. Two kids. Mm-hmm. And after we had one, It's weird that right after you have a baby, people are immediately like, when's the next one coming?
And you're just like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
We were pretty, speaking of enamored, like we were enamored and we're like, let's not talk about family planning. Let's just be like, this is what we've got right now. And that lasted a while. I think longer than we even thought. We decided not to think about another one for a while.
She was born in 2015. And right, like it takes a lot of planning to get there. And
it does.
And then even planning what you're doing with the first one and getting used to being a parent. Like I felt like I wasn't used to being a parent until she was 18 months old. Like it was like, it was a long learning curve for me. Yeah. So we said, we're not going to talk about having another kid until 2017. Like we're just off limits conversation. And that made us feel good.
And totally on, we're both totally on board with that. It was just kind of like, yeah, of course. Like let's just.
And then that year kind of came and passed. And then I think 2018, we were like, we need to figure out if we're doing this. Like if we're doing it, we need to do it. And if we're not, we need to be intentional about that decision and not just like, oh, forget to think about making a baby until it's too late.
Yeah.
Right.
So we spent some time at the end of that year and the beginning of 2019 thinking about like, are we going to expand our family and are we going to have another kid and who will carry, you know, it worked well the first time. And we also both really like, we both really liked our roles and did well in our roles. Like I was a good partner to a pregnant person and she was a good pregnant person. So that worked out. And my brother was willing to be a donor again. And we, again, like just trying to figure out all of our options. We also talked to Corey's brother. Just to see kind of where he stood with things. So he's in a completely, so my brother, right, like 5 years later, similar stage of life, like traveling, single, chill. Corey's brother is in a very different stage of life. He has two kids.
Is divorced. Is
practically engaged. Yeah. Engaged now. They are getting married.
Yeah.
But just a whole lot of other factors to consider. And he also lives like 40 minutes away from us. So he's local to us.
Right.
And we do a lot of like birthdays together and holidays together. And when we talked to him.
Was that a negative or a positive?
Well, when we talked to him about whether he was willing to be a donor, he just had a lot more to wrap his head around.
Questions and like, what would this mean? And he had a hard time, I think, separating parenting, like being the biological parent from the experience of like letting go of that, I think.
Because you're like, it doesn't mean anything. Just give me your stuff.
Yeah, that's what it means.
To you. But I wonder if that's because he was already a dad and knew that tie.
And not 26.
Exactly.
40.
Right.
Yeah, he really, like, it was just a very different way of seeing sperm as we see it as, like, genetic material. And he sees it as a line of parentage.
Right.
And it was sort of, that was illuminating to us. We saw her brother as like, oh, wow, we were really lucky to have that person in that situation. And this one was complicated. And not he never actually said no, but he didn't say yes. And we kind of moved
on.
We
knew it wasn't the right
and just
fit.
Yeah.
Because you also already had this like a knowing of what it could be like when it's just simple and carefree and working, right? So it's good to use your intuition with that.
Yeah.
Did you have any loss though, Maura? Because then that would mean you weren't going to be able to carry if you were going to do it this
way. I did. Yeah.
I felt it.
I let myself feel it. I let myself experience it.
You look like you're going to laugh.
What? After deciding that I wasn't going to get pregnant, I scheduled a consultation for a breast reduction. Because that was something, honestly, that's something that helped me feel better about my decision because that was something that I had put off, wanted to put off until I knew whether or not I was having kids.
Which is a good idea, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
To wait till after.
So that helped me get through it.
You got through it.
Because you were going to do something for yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. And like the question of whether or not I would carry was also wrapped up with, are we going to have another? And you know, we talked to my brother, we flew him out, we talked to each other. You know, we kind of at the time wish we could have had the experience of just trying to get pregnant and see what would happen, like in the low stakes way that heterosexual couples do, of like, yeah, oh, right, I'm just not taking my birth control and I'm going to see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just not trying.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was actually around that time.
We're not pulling out anymore. I hate it when people say that.
Way too much detail, fuckers.
It was around that time when I found your podcast, just because I was looking for stories and experiences to be like, how did people make this decision? Like like we talked to friends who were pregnant with their second or trying to get pregnant with their second. We're like, how did you know you wanted to do this? Because we were never there of being so committed and so convinced that we wanted to go through, you know. And then it's like, well, how far into the process do you go, right? And we were even like sitting, changing into hockey gear. Do you remember when we were at the tournament and we're like putting our hockey gear on?
Of course,
and
like
talking about our family planning around all these dudes in the tent. It was at the pond hockey tournament.
Okay.
We were like,
okay.
Yeah.
I have a really good memory, but not for this.
Yeah. We're like having this in-depth conversation of like, why don't we just try? Like, just try once and see what happens.
I do remember that. Yeah, we flip-flopped a lot of like, oh, we'll do it. Oh, wait, it's expensive. Oh, we love our family now. It's great the way it is. Like, yeah.
And then at the time, my brother was traveling a lot to South America. He had a girlfriend in Colombia. He had been living in Colombia for a while. He had been to Colombia. Like, he had gotten back in October and he was going again in April. And because of Zika, you have to wait 3 months to be safe before trying to conceive. So we're like,
remember Zika?
Yeah.
Remember when that was like one of our biggest fears?
I was pregnant when Zika. I was so worried. Yeah. I was so afraid of mosquitoes.
Yeah, I bet.
Now we're afraid of everything. But go ahead. Sorry.
So we had to plan. We were thinking of like Corey's ovulation. We were tracking Corey's ovulation again. And we're like, okay, if we try in February and then he banks in March before he goes back to Colombia.
Oh, right. We're talking about banking. And that was
because that's when it would have made more sense. And I was looking into all of the programs of the known donor programs that it's so interesting. And the sperm banks, if you do a known donor program, it's like several thousand dollars. But if a heterosexual couple were to go in and, you know, if the male were to bank his sperm before he has, you know, cancer treatment or whatever, it's like $100 or something. Like it's different. Maybe not that.
Gross.
Don't quote me on that. But it's such a big difference because the donation process has to be so heavily regulated because everything has to be tested and quarantined.
Yeah, because it's like there's an FDA regulation. Yeah. It says if it's the same as giving someone a kidney. I remember that from when Mary and I were considering she was going to carry my eggs. And I was like, why? I had to take like a psych eval. I was like, this is my family. It was like crazy talk. And then they explained it to us. It was because of the FDA regulations.
But I don't understand why, just because it's like a heterosexual couple doesn't have to go through all the, they don't have to put
because the guy's just banking it for himself.
Yeah.
If he's just banking it for himself, he's just saying like, maybe he has cancer. Like a coworker of mine had cancer and before he did radiation, he banked his sperm and they don't know where it's going.
What if it's like the straight couple coming in saying, we're banking this so that we can put it into my wife. They don't have to go through all the extra steps.
Quarantine or testing or anything.
Really? Yeah. So that's,
and then
that's
there was
weird.
Kind of that like loophole of like, if my brother were banking it for himself, but we wanted to use it, they could send it to us, but he would have to send a notarized letter every time we wanted to use it so that the bank would send it. And we're just like, this is
crazy. This
isn't going to work for us.
I wonder if you could have gotten around that by saying that you, Corey, are his girlfriend.
You probably could have. We didn't.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's so fucked. You would even
it's
have
crazy,
to do that.
But that's, like
that's that the
crazy
regulations are different for gay people. Yeah. That's not.
That is crazy.
That stinks.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's true.
Well,
it was in the research.
Yeah. I had my spreadsheet. I had like four different banks and like two options at each bank.
We just decided
when Brian came out to visit/possibly donate, even before he came out, like every morning when you took your temperature and the thermometer went off, I was like getting anxious.
You were getting anxious. I was kind of like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
And we just decided, like,
Isn't it funny how you know? It's like the feelings that you get when you're just like, you almost like hope it's not true. And then you know, like you're not doing the right thing.
Yeah. So then he just came out and hung out and we had like a fun little visit and he played a lot with Brogan.
So what is her relationship like with your brother? Are they more close than your average uncle and niece, or is it just...
I think just it's who they are, but like if they're close, it's cute, but it's not like, no one would look at it and be like, oh, is that her father? Or like, anything like that. That just feels weird.
Like he doesn't come in and be like, yeah, that's my girl.
I think their relationship is based on how their personalities fit together, and their personalities do fit together pretty well. Yeah.
It's really great.
That's such a great story of like a non-traditional setup that worked out really well. It's like, it's nice to have, like we have all these options, and I think sometimes people tell horror stories of ones that don't work out. And I love when we have stories that are just like, and it was great.
And you decided to just have one and you're perfectly happy with that.
Yeah.
That's something that not many people talk about. Just the decision.
And Jamie and I have a second we can give you if you want that.
I think it's hard. You know? I mean, in some ways having one kid, it's like you don't built-in playmate. Like, well, you don't have the built-in playmate. That's what I was getting at.
Built-in but enemy, more like.
I've heard that. I feel like there just aren't a lot of stories of being happy with just one kid. Like, there's always sort of sense of loss built in of, you know, we could only get pregnant once, or, you know.
The assumption is that you wanted more and you couldn't get it.
And you had to settle.
Exactly. And it wasn't settling at all. I mean, there was definitely a sense of, like, I think even just right up before the pandemic too. Like there's always this like, oh, it would be nice if she was playing with somebody else. But there was always this knowing of like, you know what, we're handling everything we can handle with one. Like this fits our family so well. And this feels complete for us. And there, you know, in some ways there is a sense of loss, but there's also a sense of completeness.
Like,
and then since the pandemic, we're like, yeah, no way.
I think she'd be a really good sibling and seeing other people have their little siblings and be happy with them. It's like cute, and she doesn't get that. And that's because of us, but I don't feel mournful or regretful or loss. It's just like,
and this is her life. She knows her life. Yeah.
And she has, her invisible siblings. They're all,
I mean,
as you do.
That's probably just as good.
Probably better.
Yeah.
Better.
And a lot of regards.
Probably do what she wants.
There was sibling,
no punching,
there was siblings
no biting.
At her school, preschool. Like last spring or something. And she was just like, I have a sibling. I have a little sister named No One.
And she's in this other class. And
Wait, her name's No One?
No One.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah. Wow.
And then since No One, she added Amelia, who's older.
Yeah.
And then there's Davis, Margaret, Elisa,
and Pumpkin.
Pumpkin is our newest little baby.
And Emil, the cat.
She's going to be a writer. Yeah. She's going to be a writer.
She's pretty cool.
No One. That's my favorite.
She goes by No sometimes. You know, she's feeling spicy.
She's really good to No One.
She is. She's a good sibling.
No One's definitely her favorite.
When one of her classmates' parents heard her say that, my sister No One is in the other class, and the parent thought that we'd actually had another child and named the child No One. We had to clarify that.
You know, because you're lesbians, you know, we might do something like that.
Oh my God.
Those lesbians, their names.
Yeah. And we talk to my brother every now and then about like, what's your identity as a donor? Like, is this something that you think about or reflect on and or tell people? And he's kind of like, it doesn't really come up that much.
Thank you guys so much. This was so
wonderful. Yeah, this was great. It's really fun to connect.
Yes, this has been wonderful. Wonderful conversation.
Oh,
the McDingers.
I love them. I said it before. I'll say it again. Best made up last name ever.
And how about the imaginary friends?
Nobody. I like nobody. Amazing. No, the best part is that person thought they really did name a child Nobody.
You know, us lesbians were so strange. We come up with the weirdest names, like Orion.
I love the brother too. He was like exactly the kind of guy that you think would do that. Like he was so just chill.
Yeah. All right. Well, anywho, that was fun.
Thank you, McDingers, for coming in.
Yeah. Thanks for reaching out.
No, Helen. I said roll it before. Stop, Helen.
She's going to
roll the tape again.
She's going rogue. You got to get her a new hearing aid. Gotta get to Costco.
We're over budget already.
We need some more Patreon members.
Let's talk about Mira. We have a partnership with Mira. It's an ovulation and fertility kit. And if you go to our website, ovariestalk.com, you can get their starter kit for $25 off if you use the code that's on our website. Yep. So do that, folks. It's a good partnership that hopefully is helpful to you if you're trying.
Yeah, go do that. And stay healthy, guys. Stay sane. Stay away. Yeah. Stay away from everyone. Don't touch your face.
But don't stay away from us on the social media platforms.
Come say hi.
Ovaries Talk on Twitter. Ovaries_talk on Insta. If These Ovaries Could Talk on Facebook, join our community there. I think we might have mentioned something about Patreon. Huh? Ovaries Talk. What? Patreon.com/ovariestalk for bonus content. And you can subscribe to us on YouTube.
Yeah.
To search for If These Ovaries Could Talk.
YouTube. Yeah, we are all over.
All right. I got to go deal with Helen right now. So I think we're going to have to say goodbye to everybody. Helen is literally acting out.
She needs
out
a in nap.
She's worse than my child.
Tell her to take a nap. Maybe a swim.
Imagine if all of a sudden Helen just yelled out, eggs. I'm like, okay, Helen, we're wrapping up.
All right. That's enough of that.
Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
That was Helen. If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out.
Sperm and egg.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.